Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 22nd Perek Chof Beis of Sefer Yeshayahu. It is interesting when looking at this Perek that it is actually broken up into two sections. As part of the greater perspective of Sefer Yeshayahu, this is part of those 11 chapters referring to the nations of the world where Yeshayahu turns outwards. In and amongst them, he actually turns inwards. So this Perek actually has two separate prophecies. One of them is to an area called Gei Chizayon, which means the Valley of Sight, which is referring to, as all the Mepharshim say, Yerushalayim itself. So he actually turns inwardly. And the second part of the chapter is a prophecy to a person called Shevna, who we're going to see about at the in the second half. So let's just start at the beginning. Basic summary of the first part of the Perek, which runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Yudalit, is the following. This is a prophet or a burden, again, Masa. It's about referring to the destruction of Yerushalayim, to this Valley of Sight, the Gei Chizayon. Yerushalayim is a place filled with crowds and joy, but now he's seeing a perspective of it filled with corpses. And these corpses are not just dead people who died in battle, but people who died in starvation. Obviously, we're talking under the notion of a siege, which the Gemara comments about Baba Basra is much worse than people who died immediately in war, people who slowly died. It's terrible, this notion of this switch over from joy and crowds to people dying in the corners in starvation. We think about the pictures we see from Rachmana Litzlan, from the Warsaw ghettos. Yeshayahu says, the officers of the city have fled and were captured from afar. And he says, in either self-describingly or as a description of Yerushalayim's voice, he describes how he pushes away all people trying to comfort him because of the greatest calamity that he's seeing as Yerushalayim falls. He talks about this day of confusion, of pain, of crushingness, which will be coming, about the Medians, the Modi, the people of Kir, who will join up with the Babylonians to attack Yerushalayim. And the beautiful valleys of Yerushalayim, around Yerushalayim, as we're able to see today in great blessing, all of them filled with the crushing feet of the chariots of the enemy, filled up with soldiers on every side. And even the veil of protection, the masach, which they felt that would protect them in Yehuda, was removed. Vayagalis masach Yehuda. What's the veil of protection? All the Mepharshim say it's the Beis HaMikdash. You thought the Beis HaMikdash would be your saving glory. How could Jerusalem be conquered? Will be stripped away. And he describes in great detail how when you look at Yerushalayim, you'll see the cracks in the wall growing bigger and bigger, and people start to break down houses to fill the gaps of the wall, the cracks in the wall with the stone of the houses. And people will take their drinking water from the mikveh, from this gathering of water, to use to create the mortar to fill the cracks in the walls as Yerushalayim is being conquered and smashed down. But, and this is such a powerful pasuk, as they're doing this, he says, V'loi hibatatem el ha'oseha. You did not look to the one who made these walls. You did not gaze from the distance of the one who created it, meaning referring to God. You did all what you thought you could when it came to defense, but you never looked to Hashem. God called that as a day of mourning, a day of fasting. Reach out to me, wear sackcloth. And you know what you did? You turned it into a day of rejoicing. Why would they rejoice? Destruction is coming. And that's the point. The Apostle concloses, Harog bakar v'shachotzon, you make a big feast, you shecht the animals. Echo achol basa v'shachotz yayin, drink, eat meat and drink the finest wines. Achol v'shachotz ki machar namus, for tomorrow we die. Carpe diem. Instead of praying to Hashem, let's feast on the last day of life we had. And Hashem says, ooh, it's going to be very hard. You're not going to see kapara for this sin until you die. Just a few points to think about when pondering this section in the Perek. This ends the first section. First basic question is, why is Yerushalayim not named explicitly? Why is it called the Gei Chizayon? Gei literally means the valley. Gei Tzalmaves, as we say in Tehillim. Why is it called the Valley of Chizayon? Chizayon obviously refers to sight, chazoin, right? But the notion of why is it called this Valley of Sight? So the notion of sight is related to the idea that it is the epicenter of prophecy in the world. It is a place of the greatest spiritual magnitude in the world, so that's why it's related to sight. But generally speaking, Yerushalayim is on a hill. It's Har Abayis, it's Har Tzion, Har Zaysim, right? There's so many mountains around Yerushalayim, Harim Savivla. Why are we calling it a gay? Why are we calling it a valley? So Matsudas points out that this is a level of disgrace, that what is going to become is going to become a spiritual valley. Even though it was the epicenter, it's going to turn into this valley, into this depleted area. Who are these officers who are fleeing that he talks about? Remember he said that there's going to be these officers fleeing and captured from afar? So all the Mepharshim point out that Rashi and Matsudas point out this is going to be referring to later on, as we saw in Sefer Melachim, that when Tzidkiyahu, when the penultimate king of Yehuda is under siege, he actually runs from the city and is captured in the as he moves towards the desert, and his children are killed in front of him and he is blinded. So it's referring to a specific event that's happening in the future. As we move towards the end of this section, just two things to focus on, and that is that there's the very distinct difference between carpe diem and Judaism's perception of time. Carpe diem means to say seize the moment, for tomorrow we die. That is not a Jewish concept, because carpe diem actually comes from a deep sense of yi'ush, of giving up hope. Meaning, because we die tomorrow, because there is no significance in the hereafter, there is no significance in anything in the future, well, let's just, you know, utilize every moment. Let's party and be merry today, for tomorrow we die. Judaism's perspective is not that at all. Judaism's perspective is this: there is that what we do now matters infinitely for the future that we're creating for ourselves and for the portfolio that we're creating individualistically and communally. And therefore, we do everything because it matters, not because of a lack of mattering, which is the perspective of these people who are refusing to look to Hashem. One last thing which is very fascinating over here, just to appreciate sort of the theme of this section, the Malbim points out that the way that this section is working is a description of the people you're seeing. You're going to see when you read this section that people were so silly. The things they did were so lacking basic awareness and basic planning when defending Jerusalem. It is a clear sign that Rak Yad Hashem Hoysabom Luhumam Ula Abdom. It is showing that Hashem is trying to undermine them because of their actions. That's what the Malim says is clear in the section. He goes on to explain each section, why they're on the rooftops of Yerushalayim at the beginning of the Perek. You don't usually fight at the walls, meaning to say everything they did was illogical. The Gemara in Tanis on Davchav Chavtesim Beis actually adds another wrinkle to the story, and that is, he says that actually it's referring to Yeshayahu is saying the kina, the lamentation for a particular incident that happened. The Gemara says that as the first by Beis Hamikdash is being destroyed, all the different Pirchei Kohanim, the young Kohanim, went atop the roof of the Heichal of the temple sanctuary, and they went up, and it says the following. Ribbono shel Olam, they said to the master of the universe, since we weren't able to be faithful, the gatekeepers for you, let the keys to the sanctuary be in your hand, they threw these keys up, and what we'll call, whatever this means, a celestial hand came down and accepted the keys of the Beis HaMikdash, and they jumped to their death in the fire below as the building was burning. And this is what Yeshayahu is referring to when he talks about this Gei Chizayon. Why is that you went up to the Gagois to Shuas Melea Ir Homiya, which is why you went up to the rooftops? What this suggests is that even though the enemy will control the outer elements of the city, the inner elements, the inner key of what Yerushalayim is and always will be, cannot be accessed by the enemy. This is something which we will historically claim to, which will be reclaimed as we return to it, as we're witnessing in our days. The second section of this perek is completely different. It runs from Pasuk Tesvav to Chofei. Very different. It is actually directed towards a person called Shevna, who's the Sochein Hazeh, who is apparently somehow protecting the city in some way. And it says the following: you think you're going to be buried here in Jerusalem in honor? Well, Hashem's going to throw you out, and you're going to die in refuge. You'll be killed as a refugee without honor, without a burial plot. And Eliakim ben Chilkiah will take your place, Mr. Shevna, and wear your garments. He'll be established in his family among Israel, and he will, in fact, will hold Israel in this place. On that day, everything about you, Shevna, will fall. V'nigda'a v'nofla, v'nichras hamas asher aleha. Everything is going to fall at this point in time from your shoulders. Who in the world is Shevna? Why is Yeshayahu talking to Shevna? What is going on over here? So truthfully, if we look in Sefer Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Ches and Yud Tes, Shevna appears. He actually seems to be one of the cabinet of Chizkiyahu HaMelech at the time of the siege of first Rav Shakai and later Sancheriv. If we recall, when we went through Melachim Beis, what happened was Shevna was the Sofer. He was one of the scribes of the king of Chizkiyahu, and he was among the delegation that Chizkiyahu sent out to speak to Rav Shakai, who was the general of the Assyrian army. And when this happened, remember Rav Shakai was giving this whole long, psychological warfare about how he's going to crush them and turn on Chizkiyahu, and you should not stay with Chizkiyahu. And they returned to the city, and that was when they said, Rav Shakai, please speak in a different language so that the people on the walls won't hear this. And that's when Rav Shakai started going even louder. And they returned in sackcloth, and they turned to Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu turned to Yeshayahu, and Yeshayahu says, don't listen to what they have to say, don't worry, it's all going to be all right. That's what the story we have in Tanakh. But there's no indication that Shevna did anything wrong. So to fill in this section over here, the Malim points out that it must be that Shevna must have morad b'malchus Chizkiyahu. He must have rebelled against Chizkiyahu unbeknownst to us in Sefer Melachim, and this is why he is being punished over here. However, it is interesting to note that when looking in Chazal give two accountings as to what actually happened. In the Seder Olam, which is the chronological historical Medrash, which gives us the time frame, they say that actually after this whole episode where Shevna was a emissary and he heard the terrifying words of Rav Shakai, he ran refuge to Cush. So he went down into North Africa and rebelled against Chizkiyahu HaMelech. But that doesn't necessarily give us enough of a warrant as to why he deserves this terrible prophecy on him and his family. So the Chazal themselves say, as quoted in the Midrash, the Radak brings in actually Sefer Melachim Beis in Perek Yud Ches, he says the following. He says that when Sancheriv actually surrounded the city the second time, first was Rav Shakai, and then second time the siege was under Sancheriv, Shevna went and wrote a book to say the following. He shot an arrow out of the city, and he said, I'll come and I'll break away from Chizkiyahu HaMelech. We will allow you to take the city. Meaning he was going to hand over the keys to Sancheriv. He didn't believe that Chizkiyahu was an effective leader, so he was going to break away and rebel from Chizkiyahu HaMelech. When it was Gabriel, that Malach interceded and closed the doors in front of the people he was going to lead out the city. So he was going to lead all the rebels of against Chizkiyahu HaMelech to Sancheriv, but Gabriel managed to allow that only he got out and not the rest of his siyah, the rest of his group. And so what happened was, is Sancheriv therefore blamed him for playing games with him, and what he did was kill him in a terrible way. He attached him to the back of a horse, and to the tails of horses, and dragged him to his death across the thorns. And that was what ended up happening. And our perek is Yeshayahu turning to him and saying, don't think that you have the keys of Jerusalem to hand over. Don't think it is your right to be able to hand over Jerusalem, because Jerusalem will stand fast under Eliakim, and people like you will die without burial plots. Don't think that you have the honor or the power to be able to do this. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.